Take your Bibles this morning, the book of Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to be in Leviticus 23 and some other passages of Scripture. It's good to have visitors with us today, just across the congregation. I don't pretend to know everybody that's here, but just want you to know if you're here and you're visiting, we're glad you're here. And if you're regular, we're glad you're here. Amen. Boy, I tell you what, we're doing pretty good for deer season day. Not bad for deer season day. I tell you, a lot of these old boys in this church are pretty good Christians till it comes to deer hunting. Everybody's got to be setting sin, amen? Everybody's got to be setting sin, but it's all right. Exodus chapter 12 this morning, we're looking at the feast of the Lord, the feast of the Lord. We talked about the tabernacle. We looked at, you want to put that tabernacle up, boys, you can. If you want to put the altar up, you can. And God gave Moses the instruction to make the tabernacle, all the furniture in it, all the proceedings of the worship and so forth and the sacrifices. And then he gave him the five different offerings. And those offerings portrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, all that he did at the cross for us. And I'm so glad this morning even sins of ignorance was covered. I'll tell you, a lot of sin we do is sin in ignorance. To be honest, we didn't know any better. And God even covered that. But then also we moved from offerings into the feast after he had done, but part of the feast or part of that process that he wanted to have. And I want you to notice that God called him feast. And a feast ought to be something halfway happy. Amen. Amen. I never seen too many people frown when they sat down to a good meal. Amen. And most people are glad. God is a God who wants you to enjoy. Now listen to me. We have turmoil. We have problems, but he also wants to enjoy your faith. I'm not into this pickle juice faith, dill pickle juice faith. Amen. I'm telling you, the Bible said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if there's any, he said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. So when he gives us these feasts, God wants you to understand and comprehend the happiness, the joy that ought to be yours in feasting on our Lord Jesus Christ and all that he's done for us. Last week, we talked about the feast of the Passover. And it's at the Passover where the blood was shed and where the lamb was given for our sins. And Jesus Christ is our Passover. And so that was the first feast, and God wants you to rejoice in that you had a substitute who died in your place, paid for your sin in full. Amen? Amen. Now, if that ain't a feast, I don't know what is. Amen. Now, the second feast is the feast of unleavened bread. That's what we're going to be looking at today in Exodus chapter 12. And here we go. Verse number 15, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
7 days. Now, verse 14, he just got through talking about the memorial, the verse above there, the Passover. Verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. There it is, unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. Underline that. Now, this is a message to the church. This is a message to believers. This is a pastoral feeding message, okay? And very critical in your Christian faith. Passover, cross, salvation, the blood. First thing happens. Now, there's six feasts after that. So here we go. He says, put away leaven out of your houses. Underline that. Literally, God wants you and I spiritually to put leaven out of our houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. God doesn't want you to have leaven in your house. He doesn't want you eating leaven. Verse 16, in the first day, there should be a holy convocation. And the seventh day, there should be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe, here it is, the feast of unleavened bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Now, think about that. He didn't just save them there in Egypt, but he brought them out of Egypt. Salvation, when God saves you, he wants to bring you out of this world system, out of this world control, out of this world's ways. There is no, it's been said, salvation, a salvation without sanctification or separation is an abomination. And that's what we've got in this country. Now, I'm telling you, Bible salvation has automatically with it, God did not leave them people in Egypt. God took them out of Egypt, the picture of the world. And God saves you, he'll going to take you out of Egypt too, alright? Now, he said there in verse number 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at the evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at evening. 7 days shall be no leaven found in your houses. Underline that. No leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Watch verse 20. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread. Now that was during this time of feast. Go to Leviticus chapter 23 now. Leviticus chapter 23. And we're going to look at, now Leviticus 23 is the chapter where the feasts are literally listed, the seven feasts of the Lord. And when you're in Leviticus chapter 23, you're coming down to verse number 6, and it says this, on the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. Now the Passover was on the 14th. The Feast of Passover is on the 14th. 14 is the number of deliverance. 17, number of victory. I better not even go there. But anyway, the verse number 6, the 15th day of the same month, the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have an holy convocation. You shall do no several work thereon. And he goes ahead there. So that's where he sets up that feast. Now, I want you to take it. Now, you say, Richard, what does this apply to us in the New Testament? Go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 5. 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. We're going to be looking at several things. Again, this is more of a teaching message than a preaching message, but man, oh man, is it ever needed in our lives? And I hope that you'll grab hold of the gravity of it and yet understand the blessing of it, why God ordained these feasts and what how important it is to the child of God. 1 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verse number 1. Is everybody there? Say amen. Amen. All right. Now, God, Christ is writing to the church, right? Church at Corinth. And there's all kinds of problems in this church. There's always problems in the church. Amen. How many here loves everybody? Most of the time. There's always problems in life. Amen. How are you folks from West Plains? Good to have you here today. And, but anyway, there's problems in church. You're going to have people, and church is made up of people. You're going to have problems, amen. And I'll tell you how to deal with them. Now, a church is like a home or a heart. It can have leaven in it. In here, he's going to show you a practical application of getting the leaven out of something and what leaven will do. Verse 1, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you. Such fornication is not so much named as the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. Now watch verse number 2. And ye are puffed up. What does leaven do to dough and bread? Puffs it up. What is puffing up considered to be in life? Puffed up. Pride. Okay? Right there it is. Paul is going to take this Old Testament unleavened feast, and he's going to show you how to apply it to your Christian life. He said, you're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For verily, I verily is absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together in my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Now, he said, watch this, verse 6. Everybody watch verse 6. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Now, what was Paul doing here? There's a guy in church openly, outrightly committing immorality in the body of the church. Paul said, you're not doing anything about it. You're letting this go on. He said, don't you know that if you let stuff like that go on in the church, pretty soon it'll just permeate the whole church. It'll be accepted. Now, you listen to me. Across America now, churches and religious people take pride. He said they're puffed up. Said, you ain't done anything bad. Churches are taking pride in being, quote, tolerant. Being inclusive. And Paul said, that's wrong. He said, you're being wicked. He said, you shouldn't glory in that which you ought to be getting rid of. Amen. Now, you know I'm telling the truth. You let stuff in, first thing you know, it's widely accepted. Did you know what preaching is? Preaching is about 80% putting leaven out of the church. Yeah, that's right. Honest to goodness. Purging leaven out. Letting it be known that ain't going on here. Yeah. Yeah. Mom and daddies in your house, you know what you're doing half the time? You're putting leaven out. Son, that ain't going on in this house. Amen. Get that out of there. Amen. That ain't being in this house. put the leaven out of your house. Okay, now we'll keep talking here. Look what he said. He said, you're going, verse 6, your going is not good. Know you not that a little leaven's holding up. Now watch what he says to do with it. Purge out. Now purging is a powerful word. Purge. Take some power washing. I mean, that's getting a big power washer. That's purges. I said, you got to get enough power and enough strength, enough determination. You listen to me. It's hard sometimes for parents to purge stuff out of their families that they know ought not be there. It's hard sometimes for pastors and churches to purge out stuff. But I'm telling you something right now. Leaven gets in just a little bit of it. It will rip up and ruin any work of God and ruin any family, ruin any life. He said, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. As ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Watch verse number 8. Therefore let us keep the feast. Back in Leviticus 23, Exodus chapter 12. Not, watch this, with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And what the Holy Ghost is doing is giving you an examples of things which are unleavened and things which are leavened. Things which are right and things which are wrong. Things which will ultimately destroy you and things which will save your life. Okay, now, let's go to the fact of it is, let's just keep reading. He said, verse 9, I wrote unto you in epistle not to keep company with fornicators. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world or with the covetous, extortioners, idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you, what? Not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, idolater, railer, a drunkard, extortioner, or any such one, know not to eat. What's he saying there? He said, if you sit around and partake of all that junk and you just let it go and let it go and let it go and it's no big deal, pretty soon it's going to become part and parcel of everything that's going on. Now, I will show you a little later how leaven has destroyed America, how little leaven has destroyed America and how little leaven is destroying churches and families across this country. He said then, verse 12, for what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, you listen to me. He said, if that guy will not repent, you put him out. Don't you let him ruin the whole deal. Brother Reuben Fields, a black pastor, friend of mine years ago, he preached a revival here for us one time. He was 80-some years old. And I preached a meeting for him in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, where his church was. And he had a ministry up there, a counseling ministry there with the Institute Basic Life Principles over there. And he went over certain mornings of the week and he would counsel people having a lot of trouble in their families. There's a black family come in there, the mother and father and I believe three girls, if I'm not mistaken. And they come in there. He said, I want you to sit in on this. And so I sat there just in the corner of the room and they began telling what the problem was. They said, this oldest girl, she's 16. And said, she's just running wild. She won't mind us. She won't do what we want. She won't come home. She won't obey me. She won't do this. And it went on down the line. And that girl just sitting there like this with her lips curled. All the time her mom and dad was telling him what's the problem. They got done. He just sat there and listened. He said, just tell me everything. Tell me everything. Got done. He said, now you couple come in here wanting me to give you counsel what to do with this 16-year-old daughter of yours, right? They said, yeah. He said, I'm going to tell you what to do. But he said, I doubt if you'll do it. He said, you go home right now, put all this girl's clothes in a suitcase and set it out in the street and put her out of your house. Because if you don't, she's going to ruin the rest of her sisters. Amen. You say, I don't know how this thing ever worked out, sure, but I never will forget what, because I was watching that 16-year-old girl like a hawk. And it wasn't until she said that, that that girl ever started breaking a little bit. And all of a sudden, a big tear started coming down and rolled down her cheek. And he said, I'm asking you, are you going to put her out? Are you going to let her ruin your entire family? She's leaven. And she's leavening her sisters. And she's making her sisters want to be rebellious as hell just like she is. And you need to teach them little sisters, try to save them. Because if you keep messing, you've already waited too late for her. And he said, what are you going to do? And that daddy said, we're going to put her clothes in the suitcase and put them out in the street. And all of a sudden that 16-year-old girl started shaking and trembling. I don't want you to put me out in the street. I don't want you to put me out in the street. Oh, and Brother Field said, oh, no, you want to set the house. You want to eat your daddy's hard-earned sweat, work, food and labor, put your feet under the table, sleep on your mama's bed that she fixed for you. But you're going to go out and live like a slut all week. And then come in and poison your little sisters. You're leavening the whole group.
Amen.
You need to get a pen and get right with God. I call that biblical counseling. I don't know how it all turned out, but at least he told him the truth.
Amen.
You listen to me this morning. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 1. God tells you and I what to do. I'm talking about Feast of Unleavened Bread. Great principle in your Christian life. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Having therefore these promises. Right above that's the promises of separation and being God's child and Him being our Father. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. Now watch this. Let us. We have responsibility and we have the power of the Holy Ghost and we have the Word of God. So we're not sitting there like we can't do something. Okay? Having these promises, dear beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, I'll tell you, holiness is a word that's almost gone out of churches in America now. I mean, if you say the word holy or holiness, you think, well, you're not some kind of weirdo. Holiness doesn't mean you're lived sinless. Holiness means that you separated yourself unto God, and by the grace of God, you're going to live clean, you're going to live right, live obedient to God.
Amen.
It's not complicated, and it doesn't mean you're some kind of super saint walking around like you don't do anything wrong. In fact, just the opposite will be true. Holiness, if you're truly holy, you'll be quick to admit you're a sorry, low-down, hell-deserving sinner, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be there for noon.
Amen.
All right? Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians. Now we bounced off of this out of Galatians preaching through the book. Galatians chapter 5 verse number 6. The Bible said, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now that's the part of the whole deal about Galatians. People was trying to tell them they had, watch this, these Judaizers had injected a little leaven into the Christianity of the Galatian believers. They had said, unless you circumcised, you didn't really get saved. That was the leaven that was injected, Dr. Leaven, that was injected in that church. And so now, Paul's saying, he said, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh of love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You know what he said? Who put this leaven in here? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. He said, you weren't persuaded of God to believe that circumcision saves you or any other works of the law. Look at verse number 9. Here it is. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He said, you're going to let this go on until it'll become a church doctrine. And then the kid's going to grow up and think that it's by the works of the law that they're saved instead of by the grace of God. Now this feast was 7 days in duration. There was to be no leaven found in their house. They was to eat nothing with leaven in it. And there was no leavened bread to even be seen with them. The feast was to start on the 14th day, or the 15th day after the feast of Passover on the 14th. They were actually a set of feasts combined together here. You see, Reggie, what's the lesson? By God ordaining a feast of unleavened bread immediately after Passover. What he was telling us is that after salvation, all evil in any form and in any place is to be put away from our lives and to be shunned and avoided. That's the Bible. That means, and I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I know that people's experience is different. We're saved by faith in Christ. But let me just tell you something. Historically, when they get saved, they might go home and reach in the refrigerator, Danny, and say, and the Holy Ghost say, take that six pack, crush it, throw it in the trash. What's a man doing when he gets saved? I've known many guys, several guys, who got saved right here in this area. And they'll tell you, I went home, I forgot I had a six pack of Bud Light. Open that refrigerator, and the Holy Ghost said, take that beer and pour it down the drain.
Amen.
I've seen guys that this here was in my home. I had some old Playboys stuck back up there somewhere underneath some piece of furniture. And God reminded and said, you get them Playboys, and you get them out of your house. What is he doing? The Holy Ghost is doing exactly what God said he would do. After he got saved, he is telling them to have an unleavened feast and to get all the evil and the wickedness out of your house. Okay? Out of your life. So it's to do that now. After salvation, God expects his people to have a holy walk and a holy life. Number one, there's a divine order of this feast. I don't want you missing this. Please listen to me. The Passover was first, and the unleavened bread was second. But the world reverses that. Now, are you listening? The world will tell you, don't worry about Passover. Don't worry about being born again. Don't worry about the blood of Jesus. Just reform your life. Get the bad stuff out of your life and you can be saved. Did you know you can take every evil, wicked thing out of your house and still die and go to hell? You've got to be to the Passover. You've got to experience the Passover feast first. You've got to experience the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the door of your heart, or you ain't, there ain't no use in you putting away evil, nothing else. You can quit cigarettes, quit beating your wife. I mean, quit spitting on the dog. Quit wearing white socks. Quit having chrome on your car. I don't care what you put away. Putting away evil does not save you.
Amen.
Putting away evil is a result of being saved. But I'm going to tell you something. Morality cannot save you. You say, well, I'm going to quit watching pornography. I'm going to quit lusting after other women. I'm going to quit doing this, and that'll never save you. You can put it out of your house till the dogs come home. You'll die and bust hell wide open. Do not get the order of the feast out of whack. The world and religion is always out of order. They're always telling you, do good to be saved. God says you get saved, and then start doing good. Then you get the evil out. As I said, you can get rid of all the evil in your house. I'll tell you what I've seen unsaved religious men do. Go home, tell their daughters, you're going to put a dress on that's going to be down to here. And we're not having, we'll take that off the wall and take that off the wall. We'll do this with TV and do that. And they think cleaning up the house is going to save them. It don't save you. I'm sorry. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things, but if you do that to be saved or to think that makes you spiritual, you don't know anything about salvation. Don't get the divine order. It's salvation first, then sanctification. Secondly, there's a definition of leaven. What is leaven? Leaven is yeast or baking soda or powder, whatever you want to call it. And it's worked into the bread dough. And what it does, it makes carbon dioxide gas, which then makes bubbles and blows the bread up. Okay? It makes the bread full of air. Now, what yeast does, what leaven does, it permeates the entire batch, it pusts it up, and it makes it full of nothing except hot air. And a person that has leaven in them, who is self-righteous, is full of hot air. If a man thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself and the truth's not in him. It puffs up with nothing. That's what sin and evil does. It makes us either religiously pride or full of self, or it makes us full of poison. Leaven is any evil, spiritually for us, leaven is any evil, any sin, any wickedness, false doctrine, or false unbiblical philosophies that are contrary to the known will of God in the Word of God. Number three, leaven. It's a symbol of evil. Always in the Bible, leaven is a symbol of evil. In 1 Corinthians 11:6, we said, well, ago, a little leaven, the whole lump. Then there's leavens that's described by Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Now, I want you to get this. We're having class, y'all, right? Now, I want you to get this. The good. Jesus warned in Matthew 13 to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. What's the leaven of the Pharisees? He said it's wickedness and it'll permeate every life of your religious life. What was it? Externalism. The Pharisees used to go around with wrong loaves. They used to sound the trumpet before they'd give. And they wanted everybody to see everything they were doing. Externalistic religion to try to prove to everybody else how spiritual you are is Phariseeism. And Jesus said it'll spread like leaven through a church. It'll get to where if you don't do like we do and don't look like we do and act like we do, you're not spiritual. And it starts permeating the church. And you know how you see when Phariseeism has permeated the church? It's whenever everybody starts dressing according to the code that everybody else has got. Are you listening to me? Not doing it for Jesus' sake, but for the group's sake. Are you hearing me? Now you hear me square up this morning. Those Pharisees, everything they did, Jesus said, was to be seen of men. That is leaven of the Pharisees. Ministries can be like this. For what was seen of men. Can I tell you, when I wonder, God in heaven, does he have any more value of our ministry or for some little church out here in the country running 17 people this morning? Huh? If that church is doing what God told them to do, huh? Better not forget this. You see, numbers are great. Numbers are people. Numbers are souls. So don't ever put numbers down. But if numbers becomes a person's glorying, then they're off. That's externalism.
Amen.
Okay? The second thing I've got to run was, he said, beware of the Sadducees. What was the beware of the Sadducees? Matthew 13:33. They had the leaven of skepticism, and they doubted Scripture. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the supernatural. Now, well, hang on to me here. They have doubtful minds about the supernatural, about what God said that He would do and has done. These are the people, watch this, they put the human mind above the Bible. And they think their mind and their rationalism is superior and determines what the truth of the Bible should be. They don't put the Bible above their mind, they put their mind above the Bible. That's dangerous. That's called intellectualism, and it's permeated the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll show you how. Well, in the Greek, it should say.
Yeah.
A better translation would have been. In the Hebrew, the word is this. In the Greek, the word is this. And ain't nobody out there knows beans about what they're talking about. Well, he sounds like in the Greek, it's in the Hebrew, it's a man alive. And that's a bad word. That's skepticism. That's putting the human mind above the Word of God. It'll get you in trouble every time. I'm telling you, God will let you have it with that. I'll give you an example of this. Let me give you an example of the leaven of Sadduceeism. The leaven of Sadduceeism has literally taken over the Church of America. Let me show you how. The average preacher in America does not believe in the preservation of God's Word, which is a supernatural act. They do not believe that God Almighty can preserve His Word, even though He said it will, He will preserve it. And they'll say, why, it was just a man-written book, and we do have the original languages, but all day long. And I'm telling you, they do not, and you have, if you don't believe I'm telling the truth, go to any church's website, go to their doctrinal statement book, go to any college you want to, and see if they include in their doctrinal statement that we believe in the preservation of God's Word, that God preserves His Word in the authorized King James Bible. They don't believe it. They've denied the supernatural. Let me just say something. If God hadn't preserved His Word, we don't have His Word. Then you're left up to whose Greek you're going to follow, whose Hebrew you're going to follow. Translation you going to follow then? Deny the supernatural? Can I tell you something? This is a supernatural book.
Amen.
It is not only written supernatural, it is preserved since supernatural.
Amen.
And because I'm telling you right now that if man would have destroyed this book if God hadn't preserved it.
Amen.
Man hates this book. Then there's the land of leaven, it's so late. There's the leaven of the Herodians in Mark 8:15. Now, these are all leaven that Jesus specifically said to beware of. I mean, He put a big sign up, beware. What's the leaven of the Herodians? That's the ones that just think life's all about having a party. You ever follow Herod? He wanted to see Jesus. Why? He wanted Him to do a miracle for him. Man, this will be neat. This will be a good show. Bring old Jesus on up here so He can do a miracle in front of me. Herod, you know what else he did? He liked to have birthday parties. He liked to have dancing. He liked it so much, and he was a materialistic. What God is telling His church is, beware of the leaven of the Herodians who think that life is nothing but a party, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. You don't take eternity serious. You think everything's just a big joke. You're not serious about your faith. You're not serious about what God's Word says to do. Just have a big party. We're just going to have ourselves a good time. Oh, God wants us to enjoy ourselves. Tell Paul that sitting in prison.
Yeah.
I enjoy life, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you get to where it's all about the next entertainment, the next party, and the next fun, and the next fun, and the next fun, that's Herodianism. That's the leaven of it. And it gets into a church, and all the church wants to do is have suppers
right. And
singings.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know we're plowing a little close up to the fence today, but there's some weeds right there that need to be plowed up too, amen. Then there's the personal leaven. You say, Reggie, what's that? Well, now I'm going to jump this because this is about me and I don't want to preach on me, so let's go on to the next one. No, I'll tell you what it is. How about the leaven of anger? That's my leaven, Danny. I don't know. I'm 67. If I live to be 150, I'll never be spiritual. To this day, if my truck tears up, what's wrong with this stupid thing? I know the rest of it, huh? Is it running the family? Myra, quit saying it. I'm going to ask you, Myra, which family, yours or his? Amen. I mean, I'm honest with you. I'm 67. When am I ever going to quit being angry when stuff goes wrong? When am I going to go, ain't no big deal. Tore up, no big deal. God's still in control. I'll be honest with you. I make myself so sick. If you knew how many times during the week last week I said, God, I'm done. I don't want to be a hypocrite no more. I'm tired of preaching to those people's stuff and I don't even start to live it. I've got leaven. And the little leaven, leaven's a whole, if I'm not careful, my grandchildren will be just like me. Little bitty snapping turtles. Mad at everything don't go right. I don't know what's the matter with me. I guess I'm just wicked as hell. There's a level of pride, the level of malice, the level of bitterness, the level of immorality and hatred and jealousy and envy and greed and gossip and defilement and discord and cursing and unforgiveness. And you go on. And if you're not careful, a little leaven gets in. The first thing, it becomes part of who you are. Then there's the decay. And the degeneration, the depravity, and the damage, and the decomposition, the danger of leaven. Leaven causes decay and decomposition and rots if you do not stop it. How many knows that? You do the bread, put the leaven in there, don't do something with it, it'll just rot. It produces ruin and rot. Does anybody know what has to happen to the leavened bread in order for the rot to stop? Huh? You got to get a hot oven and stick it in it. That's what scares me. Sometimes we're being stuck into a hot oven to kill the leaven that's in us. And we wonder, God, what are you doing? I'm putting you in the oven. We're going to stop this leaven. It scares me. But that's the only way leaven stopped. It ain't stopped by working it some more. That spreads it. You say, Reggie, what's going on? Sin and evil. Now watch this. Causes decay anywhere it is left unchecked. This is what God wants to do. You say, Reggie, a little leaven leavened the whole lump? Get this one here. Eve, just a little disobedience. What'd it do? Leaven the whole lump. The whole lump of human race. If you leave leaven in your heart, it will mess your entire heart up. And a little bit of leaven, it will just spread until it's totally corrupted and messed up. And that's just on through. I love y'all. But that's one of the reasons I need to come to church every Sunday. I need to let God put my heart in heat and kill some leaven out. Part of coming to church is God's process of dealing with the leaven so that it doesn't ruin us and wreck us. In the home, I'm honest with you here. Now, I don't want anybody going home today and getting a big stick and saying, I bless God, Reggie, preach on this and this. But I will give you an example. Lot took his family down to Sodom. And the little bit of leaven leavened the whole lump. It ruined his entire family. Amen. I'm telling you, home, I want to encourage you at home. I'm honest before the Lord. If there are entertainments, movies, publications, whatever it may be in your home, that little leaven will leaven the whole home after a while, and you'll wonder what happened to our home. In a church can get leavened, just like a heart, just like a home. You let a little bit of this in, I'll just be honest with you, the church in America has been leavened with ungodly Bibles. It's leavened the whole church group. It started back in the 60s. They started putting these new Bibles in. Until now, you can't hardly find a church that preaches the Bible. It's everybody's opinion of what the Bible should say. Didn't it leaven the church in America? Didn't it not do that? It did it. Let me give you another leaven in the church, and that's ungodly music. The first thing's just a little bit, and then it's a little bit more, and then it's a little bit more, and it's a little bit. Pretty soon, it's everything the world's got it's in the church. And has not the church in America been taken over by the unleavened music of the world and permeated the entire church? False doctrine can permeate a congregation. Let me give you an illustration of how leaven works even in the education system. Back about 100 years ago, they began to teach evolution as an alternative to creation. But what has happened? A little leaven of evolution has totally taken over the education system of America. And now creation cannot even be talked about, and it's mocked if it is. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You say, well, I just let my kids do a little bit of this, and I just let my kids do a little bit of this. You get ready for the whole lump to be leavened if you don't get rid of it.
Amen.
Our government. Let me give you an illustration of government. When it lets the perversion and the riots and the abortion and all the sin and wickedness that our government is sanctioning, it's leavening this whole country. You say, what will happen if it's not dealt with? Rot, and it'll fall apart. And that's the way with our personal lives. It'll spread everywhere. Where evil is tolerated, it's hard to ever turn it around again. That's the lesson. You let it in, it's going to be hard to ever get it out. And the only way to get it out is through fire. So that's speaking, how do we defeat it? You defeat it by detesting leaven, and the sin, the evil, by defiance, by the destruction of it. So I said earlier, fire and heat, an oven will stop the spread of leaven in a loaf. Can I tell you something? We need red hot preaching in this country.
Amen.
Red hot preaching stops a lot of leaven. Steady, unwavering standards. If it is a Bible standard, don't give in. I don't care who pressures you. There are churches literally in this country who used to have standards, and now you wouldn't even dream. If I was to even mention some of the names of the churches, used to be known for their standard of keeping this and that out. Now it's just swept in. They don't think nothing about it. It's taken over completely. Red hot discipline will keep the leaven out of your kids. My daddy knew how to get leaven out. He put you through the oven. Your rear end was so hot. That's the way you get rid of leaven. I'm sorry. Yes, I know there's correction stuff, but your child has a sinful nature. And I'm just telling you, one of the ways, one, God gets you to get leaven out of that child's life is heat. And then there's chastisement. God chastens us to stop the leaven. I'm glad He does. I've had God chasing me and say, I'm telling you, Reggie, this ain't nothing if you don't turn around. If you don't straighten up. But let me give you one, and we're going to do it here in a moment. And that is, if we'll judge ourselves. Listen to me. One of the ways to stop leaven is to judge yourself so that you be not judged. Put yourself through the heat of truth. Amen. Behold, He desires truth in inward parts. God does not want to put you through chastisement. God does not want to put you through the heat of His judgment. God wants you to judge yourself. And that's what the communion is all about. If you judge yourselves, you'll not be judged. God wants you to come to church. He wants you to hear the message. The Holy Spirit will deal with you about an issue of life, just like He's dealt with me. I'm being honest, okay? I'm telling you the good ones. I'm not going to discuss the bad ones. Okay? But I can tell you something, in preparing this message this week, if you think God hadn't dealt with me, if you think God hadn't said, Reggie, I want you to judge yourself. Be hot honest with yourself. Quit rationalizing. Quit justifying. Quit saying this is the flesh and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but why don't you crucify the flesh? Over and over again in the New Testament, you hear the phrase put away, put off, cleanse. Leaven is like weeds in the garden. If you don't attack them, they will take over. That's one of the greatest pictures there is. You just let the weeds grow. Pretty soon you won't see nothing but weeds in that whole place. The weeds will literally take it over. But let me give you some encouragement today. I've been thinking about this verse all week. Lord, how long shall the wicked triumph? They're not always going to triumph. Did you know that God is going to purge the leaven, the evil and sin out of this world with fire? The Bible teaches that this earth will be literally on fire and melt with a fervent heat. And God's going to get rid of every germ and every sin and every evil and all of that. And He's going to purge this earth with fire.
Amen.
You can depend on him. Now let me say something to you, and the last thing is the duty and delight of the unleavened feast. Judge ourselves. Do you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to be a pastor that judges myself, that doesn't come up here and try to act like I don't ever do anything wrong, that I don't have besetting sins and problems.
Amen.
If you can learn anything from me, learn this. The older I get, the more I know I need a Savior.
Amen.
The more I know that there's no hope apart from the cross.
Amen.
But I don't want to just throw up my hands and say, well, it's just the way it is. I would like, before I die, to know that God has purged some of the leaven out. That I've allowed Him. And by that I mean a delight. Not sitting here going, oh boy, I come to church and now all I'm reminded of is my sin. Well, you know something? That's a pretty good deal. You ought to be happy that God reminds you of your sin when you come to church. Okay? So that's why I call it delight. I'm not mad at God because He deals with me. I'm thankful because I know that leaven will destroy me. If God had not judged me and put some fire in my life, the leaven in my life would have already ruined me. So number one, judge ourselves. I want to ask you this morning, you know, if God's dealing with you about something, person, like I talked about anger a while ago. I mean, tell you what, I had one royal hillbilly fit this week. The only good thing about it was it's just me and God there. I think, I hope. Danny, it ain't funny. Danny's sitting there laughing at me. I tell you what. You've been there this week too? Okay, thank you, Danny. So first thing I want a congregation of people that we judge ourselves. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, we just judge ourselves. We say, hey, you know what? God, talk to me. Speak to me through your word. Let me be honest about what's going on in my life. And if I find something, Lord, if you show me something displeasing, I won't deal with it. I'm going to sit and fuss with you. And that brings me to this. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. There's just some stuff you don't need in your house. You don't need your eyes to see. Remember, the eyes don't see. It's not to be in your house. You're not to be around you. There's some stuff your eyes do not need to see. Your ears do not need to hear. And I'd really encourage you young parents, search. Did you know what the Orthodox Jewish people still do to this day? Those that observe this, they send their children throughout the house, behind all the cabinets and behind all the dishes, looking for little pieces of leaven. They're trying to teach them. You do a diligent search. You just don't go, oh, that looks good. You pull stuff out and you see what's behind there. And sometimes the father would even hide little particles of leaven and to see if his sons would search diligently enough to find it. My truth is I want stuff to cover it. I don't even want to see it. But God's still a holy God. Amen. We better be glad He is. So God says, judge yourselves, abstain from all appearance of evil, abhor that which is evil. And then God says, confess and forsake it. And you know what else? Remove cheerfully the things that's displeasing to God in our life. I don't think Christianity is mean, hard, cruel, tough, rough, nothing else. It's the sweetest thing in this side of glory. Amen. A God who just wants us to be honest with ourselves. And who doesn't want the leaven of sin and evil to corrupt and ruin our homes and our lives. I want five men from that aisle. I want five men from that aisle. Five men from that aisle. Five men from that aisle. And five from this group over here. I need you to come real quick. We're going to take communion this morning. If you'll do that. It don't seem like there's any way in the world I can ever. I'm always rushed. I'll die of a heart attack preaching, trying to hurry. Would you please come in and would you just begin to take this and pianist? Would you come to the piano this morning and take some to your area and let's get this out just as fast as we can. But here's what I'm going to take.